think so, said Axe. Everything about it looks wrong, but that tells me we must be right. I told you we'd find something, didn't I?
But it's a black hole, said the specialist.
I know. I can read it with my own eyes. Axe felt as though that distant, dead star had reached out and clutched her with its irresistible gravity. She was absolutely certain that this was where she would find Lima Zandrit, builder of droids who spoke with her own voice.
I think you'd better give me the name now, she said. We'll be leaving as soon as the course is plotted.
Part 4. Sabaddon. Chapter 27. It was an unassuming name, Ula thought, as the Auriga fire shook around him, for a colony that shouldn't exist. Sabaddon.
You know we're insane, don't you?
Jet said over the sound of the ship's straining hyperdrives. If a black hole's mass shadow doesn't tear us to pieces, its gravity will suck us in when we arrive.
We plotted the course to account for either possibility, said Shigar. We'll be okay.
Probably.
I'll try not to think about it, said Ula through ground teeth.
I'm just trying not to throw up, said Lorin.
Ula twisted in his seat to look back at her. She winked.
How much longer?
Shigar asked. His calm confidence was infuriating. Ula didn't know how Jet put up with it.
Somewhere between a minute and never. Most likely the latter.
The ship creaked from nose to tail, as though something had grabbed it at either end and twisted. Ula clutched the arms of his chair and closed his eyes. This wasn't what he had signed up for. Being an informer was supposed to be sitting in the shadows, stealing information, and plotting the odd assassination. It wasn't fighting killer droids, being tortured by Mandalorians, or diving headlong into a black hole. That's what cipher agents did. A strong hand gripped his elbow. His eyes flickered open.
Don't worry, said Lorin. We'll make it.
He nodded and forced his hands to release their grip on the chair. Let her think he was reassured, when in fact he was the exact opposite. Shigar's psychometric revelation had raised her faith in him to new heights, although there was a new tension between them now, as though their relationship had fundamentally shifted. That, Ula thought, might be the most galling thing about his situation. Her hand slipped away. Her good hand. The one cut in half by the Sith was encased in a mechanical glove, a paddle-like mitten that enabled her to grip little more. That was the full extent of the Auriga Fire's prosthetic provisions. The ship lurched again. Clunker came forward, swaying and rocking, and ran a cable from his midsection into the main console.
What's he doing?
Ula asked. Sinking his mind to the ship's computer, said Jet past his droid's battered casing.
You're letting him fly the ship?
He's got a good head on his shoulders, and his reaction time's much faster than mine.
As if to disprove Jet's assertion, the Auriga fire tilted alarmingly to starboard, then whipped back to port. Ula was thrown about in his seat harness, but somehow Clunker managed to stay both upright and plugged in. A moment later, the ship's flight grew calm. The vibrations eased. The complaints from both hyperdrive and hull receded into the background. The knot of tension in Ula's stomach began to unwind.
Okay, said Jet, punching buttons. It's coming up now. Hold on.
Ula stiffened again as the warped textures of